You're listening to a Score North podcast right now, and if you're a business owner, so are your customers. In fact, I could be talking about your business right now, telling the tens of thousands of loyal fans about you and sending them to your business. Find out how you can partner with your favorite Score North podcast. Visit scorenorth.com now and enter keyword partner. Fill out the form, and we'll get in touch with you quickly. Once Phil, Judd, Declan, or others start talking about your company, you'll be amazed at how many fans start showing up. So visit scorenorth.com now and enter keyword partner.
These two guys have Minnesota sports flowing in their veins. Mackie and Judd on Score North and ScoreNorth.com.
Long shot deflected. Saved by Calvin. And he got the pad on Cody Glass. Fiala has Hartman. He centers. Hartman scores!
After video review, it's been confirmed that there was goaltender interference.
Minnesota, and we'll see you Friday night.
We get a game seven. We're going to talk about that later on in the show here on Mackie and Judd. You can find the full Wild Vent Line recap from last night on Judd's Hockey Show, part of the Mackie and Judd umbrella or family, if you will, of shows. Find that on our podcast feed. Judd's Hockey Show has its own podcast feed and our Score North YouTube channel. So we'll get into some of that. We've got old tweets exposed here on this Thursday, but gentlemen,
reckless speculation.
Happy Reckless Speculation Thursday. It's become a weekly holiday for us here on the show. I know Judd doesn't even sleep on Thursdays.
No. And at times we'll stray into Wednesdays and Tuesdays. Here's the thing. It's supposed to be on Thursday, but at times it gets abused a bit, and like we'll just start doing it on Tuesday, and they're like, no, you gotta stop, you have to stop. But I'm sorry, reckless speculation, as we always say, is a lifestyle.
It is.
And when it's a lifestyle, like, you don't just play Yacht Rock on Thursdays, right, Phil?
No, you play.
Well,
you play
no, you do. Yeah, you do. You always play Yacht Rock. Yacht Rock is back.
I think Judd's saying it's not just exclusive to Thursdays.
Yeah, right? But I'm saying it's not exclusive to Thursdays. It can be played on Thursdays, but certainly like Tuesday occasionally. Yeah. You'll be like, Yacht Rock time.
That's right. Well, let's get our guy in here. He is the insider for inside information about your favorite local sports teams here in the Twin Cities. From 5 Eyewitness News and from the Scoop Podcast, friend of the show, Darren Doogie Wolfson. And let's start with some Timberwolves stuff here. We were talking off mic. Let's just get to this Woj report from yesterday. You've got the complaint. You're named in the complaint. Look at you.
I am named in the complaint. Yeah, Bravo. I haven't gone through the entire complaint. It's in my inbox. So the way it worked, it appears, based on our investigative unit on the TV side, is the Orbach side, Meyer Orbach, limited partner with the Wolves, you know, his camp gave the complaint, this happens oftentimes, gave the complaint to ESPN, gave it to Woj before it was officially filed. So it's now been filed. So it's now public knowledge. Anybody who wants to access the complaint can go through page after page. Yeah. But that's how ESPN landed it on Wednesday late afternoon.
So here is the summary real quick, and then any information or insight that you have into this, Doogie, we're all ears. So the main minority owner, who you just mentioned, Orbach, who owns 17% of the Timberwolves, is claiming that Glenn Taylor is trying to skirt, I'll phrase it this way, that Glenn Taylor has structured this selling of the team to A-Rod and Lori in a way that skirts minority owners' ability to cash out on the sale on their percentage of the franchise earlier. As part of this complaint, it was revealed within the write-up that Glenn Taylor has not been able to include official language in the sale that prevents A-Rod and Mark Lowry from moving the franchise out of Minnesota. So you've got two different components here. You've got the actual lawsuit, which is rich people fighting over when a minority owner can cash out, right? And to me, I look at that and say, oh, great, Glenn Taylor, with poor communication and weird structuring of this deal, has alienated another person close to him, just like he alienated Kevin Garnett. We can get into that stuff.
Well, maybe. Can I stop you on that point, though? There are limited partners. Guys like Bill Popp, the Saunders family. I can just tell you that Glenn has communicated with those individuals that they can get their money sooner rather than later if they're interested in bailing. Okay. So I don't know the exact dialogue between Glenn and Orbach, but I can tell you Glenn, based on other conversations, has let these individuals know that if they're ready to cash out, like Bill Popp has been a limited partner for many, many, many years, bought in at a minuscule amount, right? You know, a long time ago. That minuscule amount now is now worth millions upon millions of dollars. If he's interested in receiving that money, I'm just telling you, I don't have an exact date. But it's not like he needs to wait until the fall or the winter of 2023.
Sure. But the big, to me, the big headline, which has nothing to do really with this lawsuit, is Glenn Taylor has spent the last 2 months to you, to WCCO, to the Star Tribune, lying about there being a clause in the contract that prevents A-Rod and Mark Lurie from moving the franchise. Now, is it likely that they'll move the franchise to Seattle or Las Vegas? Probably not, because the NBA can get a lot more money in a $2 billion expansion fee by expanding the league to those cities than by moving the Timberwolves. But there's other markets, Kansas City, Nashville, St. Louis, that I'm sure would love an NBA team at some point. So Glenn Taylor has spent the last 2 months saying, you guys, no, they've, in fact, he's quoted to WCCO as saying they signed a contract that included a clause that prevents them from moving it. So he's been, in my mind, he's been lying for 2 months, and now this is out there. So anyways, your guys' thoughts on this whole mess that's come down in the last 24 hours.
Well, go ahead, Judd, if you want to start, and then I'll pick up from what you say.
John groan. I always
because I can tell. I can tell you are ready to unload. So go for it.
Okay, this is a situation where the Orbach suit will play itself out. These things always do. It'll probably get settled at some point down the road. Who knows? But the moving, the potential of the move, and the fact that Taylor has spent this entire time trying to assure people that, you know, he's got a, I mean, this, for lack of a better explanation, you guys, this is Andrew Wiggins all over again on a much bigger scale. This
look
is
me,
the
look me in
look
the
me
eye.
In the eye and tell me that you'll work hard. I mean, Phil uses the word lie and it's accurate, but I don't even know, like, if Glenn was purposely trying to lie to be a bad guy, or if Glenn being Glenn, because Woj did in the piece Woj did, which was really interesting. He has a lengthy quote from Glenn. If you read, not even between the lines, Doogie, he basically says the league wouldn't allow this team to move.
He has told me a number of times. Yes.
Right. So it's very clear that he just felt emboldened enough to either stretch the truth and or just outright lie, because his feeling is the league won't allow the team to move. And two thoughts off of that, Dukes, and then I'll turn this over to you. One is, I saw a National Hockey League team leave this town, okay? The state of hockey, last time I checked, we have labeled ourselves. So don't tell me that a team is not going to move when supposedly our most popular sport or second to the Vikings in football moved. So that's thought one. And thought two is very simple here. So for everybody, and this includes my brethren in the media, this includes the fan base, for everybody who says they're not going to move, they won't move if you build them a building. That's what this is going to come down to. And we're going to get North Star's revisionist moving history here. And yes, Norm Green had problems with a secretary. Yes, Norm Green had issues that caused him to move, but people forget that before the Guns, who owned the North Stars previous to Norm, before they got the expansion franchise in San Jose, Dukes, that they got the expansion franchise and gave up the North Stars because they wanted a new building and weren't getting it. And they looked to move that team and were basically told, don't move them, we'll give you the Sharks franchise, okay? So before anybody, like, why are we, I guess my question is this: what good are we in this business doing by trying to calm the fears? The fears are real. The fear, and like this assumption that Seattle and Vegas will not get an existing franchise, that might be right. I've seen weirder things. So I just, it's frustrating to me when people in our business try and calm people down when, one, they were lied to, which they should be mad about. And two, I mean, from the day that this started, it's A-Rod. One of the scums of the earth is last time I checked. It's A-Rod.
I'd this still rather have him than Glenn Taylor as an owner. Well, I don't think Glenn Taylor is a scummy guy. I'm not saying that.
But do you trust him? Of course you don't trust him. You know, Mark Laurie might be a genius. You don't know him from Adam. You don't know what his motives are. You don't know, but he's definitely a shark. So I just caution and please ask everyone to stop this trying to calm people down until we know more, because we learned a very significant fact yesterday that we had been, you know, lied to about. Doogie.
Yes, but this is also something we talked about. It was either on Tuesday, April 11th. So the people watching and listening to this can go back, find the conversation. It was either Tuesday, April 11th, the Tuesday podcast that me and you do, Judd, or it was this collective conversation that all of us do on Thursday. So it might have been Thursday, April 13th. We went down this very path. Yeah. By the way, you don't become a billionaire without being at times a complete a-hole, right? Mm-hmm. Like, yeah. There are very few good guys who are billionaires, right? Like, you need to ruffle some serious feathers along the way to reach that status. So, yeah, Glenn has some of that in him. Sure, the optics are horrible on this, right? That Glenn, in multiple interviews, said there is enforceable language. But we talked about it, that actual enforceable language was never viable. It just wasn't realistic. This is why Daniel E. Strauss, who, to use the football analogy, got all the way down to the 5-yard line. We thought in August, Daniel E. Strauss, the one time Grizzlies limited partner, we thought Daniel E. Strauss would be the new majority owner of the Wolves. He comes to town. He meets with Glenn. What rubbed Glenn the wrong way, I'm told, is Daniel had multiple lawyers with him. This is why Daniel had multiple lawyers with him, right?
Dude, just sell the team. Just sell the team.
Well,
and go away.
The hope
go to Mankato.
Was, yeah,
just go live in Mankato. I mean,
and he cares about his legacy. He does. I think in an ideal world, somebody
I
locally.
I think that ship has sailed.
Well, maybe it has. Glenn wanted to find a local owner. Like, you think about the Utah Jazz, right?
Yep.
Smith, who talked to Glenn. So he had interest before completing the transaction with the Miller family and becoming the new majority owner of the Jazz. He talked to Glenn about potentially buying the Wolves. But it was perfect for Utah. That guy Smith is a Utah resident, right? Like, Glenn would have loved for somebody locally to step forward. That never took place. On the idea of expansion, we cited this a few weeks ago, and it's not just Mark Cuban, the Dallas owner. There are some other people in the league that are hesitant, that when you think long term about that national TV money, the pie that you split up, you would rather have 1/30th of that pie compared to 1/32nd of that pie. Now, the expansion fee money is absurdly high, right? So if Seattle and Vegas, if we go from 30 teams to 32 teams, Mark Cuban and others can recoup a lot of, you know, the so-called lost revenue from the pandemic pretty easily. But I'm just telling you, there are some that think 5, 10, 15 years down the road, hey, we don't need 32 teams. When we divide up all this national revenue, I don't want to have to divide it up 32 ways. I want to divide it up 30 ways. But I still think deep down, Seattle and Vegas are getting expansion teams. That Adam Silver opened that door enough in comments in the winter that I think that's the path to Seattle and Vegas getting teams. But Judd, I'm with you. It's going to come to the point, and this, I'm telling you, this is something we talked about in mid-April, yes. But let's reiterate it again. It is going to come to the point where Target Center is a bottom five arena. Nobody, I don't think anybody, even though that's an opinion, that's not a fact, like, I don't think anybody logically could debate the other side. Like, it's pretty much a fact. Target Center is a bottom five arena. That A-Rod and Laurie are going to ask for a new arena at some point. From that point on, what takes place? That is going to be the most fascinating thing to follow. And unfortunately, or fortunately for those of us, you know, that crave storylines, so maybe more so, unfortunately, that's probably still, what, a good five-ish years down the road, four-ish years. I don't think it happens, you know, quite aggressively to the point of, you know, at this point when they take over for the start of the 23-24 season. I don't think all of a sudden, December of 2023, they are going to be asking for a new arena. But at some point, 2024, 2025, maybe 2026, they are. I'm just telling you. I mean, it just, it makes all the sense in the world. That's the point that we're going to get to. And how does the city of Minneapolis, how does leadership in the state of Minnesota react at that point?
All right. So I will give you the exact parallel too for those who say, you know, expansion is going in these two towns. The Wolves aren't going there. Calm down. There's nowhere to go. Okay. Like, because I mean, this
there's always somewhere to go, Judd, right? Like Phil resides in Seattle right now. Talk to people in Seattle. In a million years, did they foresee the Sonics moving to Oklahoma City? There's always somewhere to go. Don't ever forget that.
But here's the out, right? Because right now, I mean, Glenn is banking on the league literally stepping in and being like, you can't move. You can't go. Sorry, you guys bought the team. You're stuck there. Okay. So Norm Green's first choice for the North Stars, Anaheim, California, which is probably the parallel to Seattle right now as far as expansion went, okay? The league said, we've got this really successful film, The Mighty Ducks. We're going to expand there, and we're going to get a boatload of money. But what we will do is, if you agree, part of what we will do is we will not stand in your way if you can find a different town, which goes back to both of your guys' points, which is there's always somewhere to go. So if they agree, okay, Seattle's out. They probably get a completely free pass without a new building here to just walk away. So I'm getting so frustrated by this. And I mean, we have this when it comes to our sports teams, as far as our players here, we have this when it comes to our teams, this emboldened, they won't do that. They can't do that. It's never the case, ladies and gentlemen.
I just want to add too, cause I like where I differ a little bit from Judd is, I'm not going to spend the next 2 years fear-mongering and losing sleep over this. Judd might, which is going to be hilarious and fun. But I agree in that it's not right and it's not fair to Timberwolves fans and the public to downplay the fact that this team can move. Like you can't sit here today, and I don't think you're doing your job as a local media member if you try to just, listen, everyone, everything is fine, like there's nothing to see here, we can trust Glenn Taylor and his word. This has nothing to do with Glenn Taylor's word in 2 years from now. This has everything to do with what Alex Rodriguez and Mark Lori are going to want from the state and specifically the city of Minneapolis. So the way this will play out, you guys just laid it out. Whenever they take over a full majority ownership stake in this team, they're going to ask for a new arena. If the city of Minneapolis or the state of Minnesota decides, listen, we just have arena and stadium fatigue. We've put up like $1 billion in public funding the last 20 years. Like we're just not sorry. We got to draw the line somewhere, right? Then they will say, okay, we hear you. That's fine. And then they're going to go to Kansas City. They're going to go to Nashville. They're going to go to Louisville, all these other cities not named Seattle and Las Vegas, and they're going to knock on doors and see if they can get. And people are going to say, well, but why would you go from the 15th market to the 25th or 30th market? Well, if you thought you could go from $200 million in revenue to $275 or $300 million in revenue with a new arena and just a different, maybe frenzied market where it's a fresh start and the brand isn't tainted like it is here with the Timberwolves over the last 15 years, there are plenty of reasons. I'm not going to spend every waking second and every day sounding this alarm, but it is an alarm that should be sounded right now so that people can be prepared for it.
I wouldn't if I felt that I had more support. I wouldn't. Like, we mislead the public. Dukes does not. Dukes, to your credit, from the day that I expressed concern, you agreed and kicked in with why people should be concerned. But I feel like our show especially gets left on an island of all those guys. That's typical Judd. They're just, what are you guys talking about? And if you think this league won't downsize markets, they went from Vancouver, British Columbia to Memphis, Tennessee. And as Doogie, you said, they went from Seattle to OKC. Those are two of the worst moves I've ever heard of in my life. And you know what? It's a pretty successful league. Yeah.
Correct. I think in hindsight, Glenn would have been wise. Now, I always appreciate Glenn's transparency, right? I've always said Glenn is as open an owner as there is in professional sports. Forget just the NBA. Like, Glenn is accessible, right? So it's hard for me as a media member to be upset by that, right? Like, there are times over the years I've put the quarter in the machine and just let him go. And he spews a lot of stuff, and a lot of stuff that ends up benefiting me and those who listen and watch us,
you know,
that care about the Wolves and the Lynx greatly. All right. But I think in hindsight, Glenn would have been incredibly wise. Still do the interviews. I'm not saying shut up. Don't talk to us. Please talk to us. But he should have said, hey, you know what? I pursued finding a local owner. It never came about. Once they take over as majority owners, they can do whatever they want. My hope is they keep the team here in Minnesota long term. But once they're in charge, they can make any decisions they want to make. Hey, I'll voice to my colleagues in the NBA office. I'll reach out to Adam Silver, others, and tell them, hey, don't let the Wolves leave this top 15 media market. But I'm not in charge anymore. Once everything is handed over to A-Rod and Lori, they can make any decisions they want. I think that is what Glenn should have done, as opposed to suggesting with our mutual friend Chad Hartman on CCO Radio that there's actual signed documentation, suggesting as such with me as recently as last week. I talked to Glenn 10 days ago, Monday. It was whatever Monday was of last week. So, you know, not that long ago. That interview is available on a recent Scoop podcast. You can go back and listen to it. So, you know, Glenn just, I think, could have done a much, much better job of choosing his words.
Yeah. And I'll just add, I mean, the reason why the Timberwolves are even in danger at some point with new ownership of being sold off is because the value of the franchise is bottom three in the NBA. And the reason why the franchise is a bottom three valuation is because of poor management that leads up to ownership ever since Kevin Garnett exited the franchise 15 years ago. I think they've got some things right with the front office. I think they've got a nice young nucleus, and there's some positive signs for the future. But we've seen positive signs a couple different times the last 15 years. And I just, you know, you can't have your cake and eat it too here. And it just kind of feels like Glenn, there's a lot of wishful thinking here. And as a result, he wound up lying to the public. Real quick here before we get into some other stuff.
So I talked to somebody that knows a lot of stuff yesterday on my drive-in. So they believe that the approval is going to come in early July. So at some point thereafter, they haven't gotten far down the road, but they've internally talked about a public celebration, inviting fans, whether that's at Mall of America again, like the Jimmy Butler news conference, or at Target Center, but to publicly introduce Alex Rodriguez and Mark Lori. I just, now with this layer added. I mean, let's hope that still takes place. Maybe it doesn't now, you know, 24 hours later with all this new information. But
I don't
I'll
need
tell you
Minnesota
what, I can't wait.
America cheering A-Rod. Yeah, no, I don't.
I can't wait for that to happen if it does indeed happen.
Amazing. No. What I want, like I said earlier, is for Glenn to get in his private transportation, whatever it is, and
he's
make his way back down to Mankato. But on the way down to Mankato, I would stop at PXG Southdale Center, PXG Minneapolis.
Hey, Derek Holmes, right? The guy that just played in the PGA Championship. Yeah.
So Derek Holmes is the head pro at PXG Minneapolis. Mm-hmm. And he, at one point, after like, three or four holes, he was tied for second on Thursday, and then that course is just impossible unless you're Phil Mickelson. So, but PXG Minneapolis is a golfer's paradise. The Gen 4 golf clubs have landed. So whether it's drivers, fairways, hybrids, irons, whatever you need, these are hands down the best performing clubs PXG has ever made. And those clubs helped Derek Holmes qualify for the PGA Championship and perform pretty well on that first day. So if you want to up your game, PXG Minneapolis in Southdale Center is the place. PXG.com/Minneapolis. Doogie, all right, let's do some Vikings OTAs here. So we've touched on it a couple times this week, but what's your thought on Danielle Hunter not participating in the voluntary workouts here? Do you think that's a mutually agreed upon decision where, listen, this is my theory anyways, hey, listen, they had a conversation 2 months ago. Stop deleting stuff, Viking stuff from your Instagram. We love you, man. Like, we just have a million things on our plate. We'll get to your contract at some point. So if both sides are having transparent conversations, I would think both sides would say, probably not worth the risk for you to come out and blow your Achilles while we're in the middle of contract discussions. I don't know. What do you think it is?
I don't think the Vikings are overly bothered here on May 27th that Daniil isn't there. Not only has he talked to Andre Patterson, he's talked to others at TCO Performance Center. So, you know, I'm not suggesting they're all, you know, holding hands singing Kumbaya, but those conversations have taken place. I don't think Mike Zimmer was taken aback, you know, that Daniil wasn't on the practice field on Monday. By the way, Zimmer has given guys off today through Monday. So they were supposed to be on the field today with the holiday weekend. He gave guys the next few days off. He'll see them again on Tuesday. What will be interesting is come, what is it, June 15th, whatever the date is, the mandatory minicamp in mid-June. Will Daniil Hunter be at that? And if he isn't, then the fines start to build up. And I'm just not led to believe that he really wants to pay that fine money. So that'll be interesting. But as far as him not being there now, not a surprise. Now, maybe in a perfect world, coming off, you know, a very serious injury, a very serious surgery, the Vikings would at least like to see him move around, you know, but he's omnipresent, as you mentioned on his social media channels. They can see that he's down at Exos in Arizona, you know, working his behind off, that you never need to worry about Daniil Hunter being in excellent shape. You know, but let's just see how this thing plays out. I predicted with Judd on Tuesday, a prediction I've made going back weeks, that I think eventually the Vikings do take care of Daniil. But more prediction. I'm not basing that on, like, this deep inside knowledge I have. I'm trying to read some of the tea leaves, you know, that they realize how vastly underpaid he is. But, hey, if they don't want to do that, you know, maybe he will sit out and start to pay those fines.
Where I think you're right is, until we actually see the team not pay a guy, especially in July, or as we get towards the season, because this team, with the Wilfs at least, have been so good about paying guys. I think until we get to that point where Daniil doesn't have a contract, holds out, because we went through this. I mean, we've been through this song and dance with various players through the years since the Wilfs bought the club. But, you know, last year, Dalvin Cook, right? I'm done with the virtual stuff. I'm not going to participate. And we were all, I think, you know, rightfully so, like, okay, what does this mean? He got paid. I mean, this franchise has found a way and has been so good about rewarding its young players. And while this would actually be tearing up a contract, to your point on Tuesday, Thielen had the same sort of thing. So I guess in this case, shockingly, Judd Zolgad won't sound the alarm until it actually happens and he doesn't get paid, because the history tells us that they do ordinarily take care of guys like this, unless they're just so afraid that that neck is not good.
I'm just curious, to what extent do they take care of him? I don't think they're getting to the Joey Bosa money. I mentioned with you on Tuesday, Judd, I'll tell you now, Phil and Declan, that I'm led to believe from multiple angles that the Hunter camp looks at that Joey Bosa contract and says, what the bleep? Like, you know, maybe that's the outlier, right? You know, credit to Bosa and his representation. You know, the Chargers did what they did. You know, but that's like, that's off the charts money. So what is the happy medium? That the Vikings are not making Daniil Hunter the highest paid pass rusher in the game. So if that's the ultimate goal,
Dukes,
I have a hard time believing that, but that they go higher. So where do they meet? Yeah. Can they meet in the middle?
It's always a weird concept to me when, like, you get into the nosebleeds of these finances, and, like, he makes what's his cap number? $17 million this year.
I think that's his average annual value for sure.
And then, you know, you're looking at the gap between $17 million and $27 million, and I totally understand that money is available to players, and so you're going to fight for it. But how much does your life really change? You know, what are you going to do with 27
that
you can't do with 17?
It's your image, your ego. Joey Bosa got paid and you didn't. And by the way, you did sign that contract, too.
I get it.
Here's my guess. The Vikings are going to come in with an offer and say, boys, gentlemen, you signed this previous contract. So, like, it's your fault that you signed it. We are willing to play ball here, but it's going to have to be, let's say, I don't know, average annual value 23. Is that fair?
Well, I mean, like, I think, yeah, point, that would be fair, right?
Yeah.
So that's what I'm more curious about. But you're right. I mean, a big reason why I make the prediction that I do is based on this regime, this ownership group. You know, there's a history of them taking care of guys, including guys with multiple years left on their contract. Yeah, maybe Adam Thielen was the first in that regard, but it has happened. So that's why I think a player that is this important, you can make a case. Is he the second most valuable player on that team? Third? Maybe he's not number one, you know, although, heck, who is the most valuable player on that team? Is it Dalvin? Is it Kirk? But you can make a case Danielle Hunter is one of, what, the three most valuable players on that roster?
He's for sure top three. For sure top three.
All right. Then you take care of a guy like that. You just do.
Here's what sets him apart. He, like a quarterback, controls his own fate. Like, Jefferson's incredible, right? But he can't throw himself the football. He's at the whim of the quarterback and the offensive coordinator. Danielle Hunter literally controls his own fate. And so that's the difference there is like, if you need a big sack, nothing's stopping him from getting it besides the opponent. It's not the quarterback throwing him the ball. So, yeah I think he's probably – I think when he's going well, he's probably top two.
Yeah. Dukes, let's get some rapid-fire scoops here. I know that we've probably slowed on the Twins trade discussions now that they have become the hottest team in baseball, not named the Rays, just beating up on the vaunted Orioles. So, I don't know, any Twins things or any other things in your scoop bag that you can deliver to us?
Well, let's continue the Vikings theme. So on Jeff Gladney, I checked, or actually had somebody in our newsroom check, with the Dallas District Attorney's Office. Let's just say, without getting into all the minutiae, there's still a long way to go for the Dallas District Attorney's Office to decide whether they are going to press charges or not. So it's still going to take some time. You know, I think even if charges aren't filed, the NFL could ultimately still suspend Gladney for some length of time. So you think about the Vikings pursuing Bashaud Breeland, a pretty good free agent cornerback out there, although I'm told they went too low. They offered him a one-year deal. I don't know if it was for the minimum or certainly above the minimum, but it wasn't for enough money. So if the Vikings are to land Breeland, they're going to have to go higher. But that just signals that the Vikings are looking for some cornerback depth, maybe with the belief that Gladney is going to be suspended for some length of time at the start of the season. Is that 2 games, 4 games, 6 games, 8 games, but that he could be facing a suspension. Cam Dantzler wasn't there yesterday. It was his son's birthday. So, legitimate excuse, 2-year-old son.
Hercules. I want to hear. I want to hear from Judd here. I need to hear from Judd here.
His son's two. One, the kid ain't gonna remember his second birthday. Second of all, you only have X amount of chances to improve yourself as a football player.
He was there earlier in the week. Yeah.
God willing, this young man lives a long and prosperous life, and Cam can see birthdays 3 through 33 or whatever he's gonna. So yeah, let's get to football, okay? let's get back on that field.
Yeah, and then Hercules. How do you say his last name? Is it
Mataafa?
Mataafa. He's back in Hawaii. Excused absence. Even though it's voluntary, he went to the Vikings and said, hey, can I head back to Hawaii a day or two early? I'll make up what I need to make up. So he is going to make up whatever he missed yesterday somewhere on the back end. You know, but that's where it's laughable, right? That it's voluntary, but he still felt like he had to seek out, you know, coaches with the Vikings to ask permission to go back to Hawaii.
I thought a bunch of guys weren't going to show up too. What happened to that memo they sent the team? Basically,
I
saying
agree.
A lot of us aren't showing up.
Well, I think the workout bonuses, rates went up. There's money at stake for many guys. That's what happened.
You send a memo. We're not showing up.
I agree. The memo was
yes,
laughable.
We are.
Yeah,
it is funny because a lot of the workout bonuses are like, aren't they participating in certain percentages of the off season workout plans?
Yes,
which includes the voluntary workouts. So they build into the contract.
Yeah,
these are voluntary. Unless you want that $50,000 bonus.
Well, that's another layer to Hunter, right? I mean, Hunter does have workout bonus money built into his contract, so he is sacrificing some of that bonus money. On the Twins, Phil, all the stuff you've seen from Morrissey, from other national reporters, that's coming from other organizations. And I don't fault them for writing that stuff, but that's not coming from Falvey and Levine. The Twins are not in a position right now where they're looking to sell. Now, could I see it getting to that point? Do the Twins have scouts out scouting single A and double A games? Will they be ready to go if the time comes where they need to be sellers? Yeah, they'll be ready. You know, they'll have reports on a lot of guys across many minor league organizations, but they're just not at a point now. You know, just you're not going to sell. Like, how often do you see sell trades in May? We saw that trade a week ago. The Brewers move, what, a couple relievers to Tampa for an infielder. Like, that was a legit baseball trade, right? That wasn't a sell-off type trade. We just don't see selling in May. So the Twins have never contemplated seriously trading any of their pending free agents right now. But I still think it's very much an uphill climb. That even with this 15-game winning streak against Baltimore, they have Baltimore here again in the next week or so. They have some games against the Royals, so they can beat up on the Royals to some degree, that they can win a lot of these games over the next, you know, 9 or 10 and get back to close to 500. It's still a heck of a climb to win the division or to be one of those two wild card teams. So at some point, Derek and Thad are going to have that serious conversation. Is this roster, especially with the way they've been beat up, and inevitably more guys will eventually go down with an injury, is this roster good enough to not only make the playoffs, but then to make an actual run in October? Or would it be wiser for us to sell, especially the pending free agents?
Yep, I agree with you. I mean, there's really no downside to just waiting, you know, the rest of June, just see what happens against some of these bad teams. You're going to wind up playing the Yankees and the Astros coming up. But this is sort of reckless, but somewhat educated speculation.
Reckless speculation.
That the way this usually works, and you know this too, both you guys, when you're leading up to the deadline, and even like 6 to 8 weeks out, the Twins might not be the ones that are initiating calls right now because they, you know, they want to see what happens against the Royals and the Orioles. But other teams are probably putting feeler texts, emails, and phone calls in saying, hey, you know, we just want to get out in front of this thing. Whenever you're ready to give us Jose Berríos or Nelson Cruz, we would love to entertain that. And then I think some of these reports that are coming out from J.P. Morosi and from Fine Sand was more, I think, speculation. But my guess is those teams are contacting the Twins, asking about, hey, how would you feel, you know, whenever you're ready, you know, to deal Nelson Cruz, Jose Berríos, and the Twins are saying, well, we're not, listen, if we don't win some games here soon, then those guys are all going to be on the table. I think that's where those specific names are coming
yes,
from. I think it's discussions.
Absolutely. And that's literally the job of those in the front office to plant those seeds. Yeah, maybe, you know, from opening day through the first 20 games, yeah, maybe you wait a little bit. But yes, like you literally wouldn't be doing your job if you're in the Toronto Blue Jays front office if you didn't at least send those text messages. So, yeah, I'm positive the text messages have been sent, but I'm also positive the Twins are not seriously contemplating any trade right this second.
All right. That's Darren Doogie Wolfson,
named
the Scoop Podcast.
In a lawsuit, in a complaint. This is a big day for you. Like, appreciate this.
Famous now. He's famous.
I don't know
now.
How big it is, Judd. What's it get me? I mean, it's a fun
copy.
Talker. I'm not quite sure.
You print
it's
out the complaint
that.
And sign it for me. Best of luck, Judd. Oh, and last thing.
Yeah.
Droogie, congratulations. Yeah. Big game last night.
Oh, really?
And I'm just telling you right now, Dukes, you didn't respond, but I'm just curious. You're the coach, right?
I am one
Droogie's
of the coaches. Yeah, I'm the second coach. Yeah.
Droogie's good. I get that. But should we shop him?
Hey, if you want to shop him to play up,
value for him.
Yeah,
Laura might not like it, but I'm just thinking if we could get an arm, and a halfway decent stick, it's just stick. Just think about it. I know he's your son.
Couple younger kids, you know, maybe there's a 5 or a 6 year old out there that might not be ready for a couple years to play on that team.
I'm not opposed to it. Let him play against the 12 and 13 year olds. He's ready for that at 10 years old. Yeah. So yeah, if the return is decent, hey. I'll even go in the package. Like, if that team wants my knowledge, although they might, you know, give me the middle finger and say, we don't want you. Like, you stay with your team right now. But, yeah, no, kid had a great game last night. 3 innings on the mound, only gave up one hit, only gave up one run. The run was, I guess technically I wasn't keeping score, but based on one error being committed to allow the runner to advance to third base.
We'll check Judd's scorebook, actually.
Unearned run. And
Doogie
he had three RBIs.
Doogie ripped the shortstop.
He swung at a horrible pitch, though, a second at bat. He was so eager to hit the ball because my mom was there for the first time. So he was so eager to put on a show for grandma that he swung at such a bad pitch and ended up fouling out to the first baseman. But otherwise, had two rock-solid Joe Mauer hard-hit singles right up the middle, drove in three, and we won 17-11.
Wow, look at that. That's the other pitchers didn't do their
job. The other pitchers did not do their jobs, no.
Let's name them. Let's throw their names out. Let's shame them.
In fact, I won't by name, but maybe I could throw the first coach under the bus that Drew was not at his pitch count. Right? Like, he still had another 20 to 30 pitches to go.
Rocco!
We could have put him out there for the fourth inning. We took him out too early.
With Rocco.
Yeah, the main manager pulled a Rocco. He pulled Droogie too early.
You know what? I heard Droogie might demand a trade himself.
You might.
No, he's got my low maintenance, you know, even keel type attitude. He's not like his mom, high maintenance.
Agent, though. That's what he needs.
And I say that because I know Laura's not listening. No, no agent, Jeff. No, I'm not into paying 3% commission or 2%. No, I have enough workable knowledge. I'll take care of the contract.
Okay. All right, that's Darren Doogie Wilson, 5 Eyewitness News and the Scoop Podcast. We'll see you next week, dudes.
Okay, take it easy, boys. Have a good holiday weekend.
Enjoy a weed-free summer at the lake, courtesy of Aquaside. One easy application of Aquaside pellets can eliminate weeds and lake muck.
Yeah.
Aquaside has been trusted by hundreds of thousands of lake homeowners since 1960. Neglecting aquatic weeds can hamper recreational activities like swimming and boating. Lake weeds can also provide breeding habitats for insects. Make your lakeshore beautiful this summer with Aquaside. Call 1-800-328-9350 or go to aquaside.com.
All right. Love it.
Reckless speculation.
Love it. Quick shout out to Federated. So Federated's been helping business owners in the Twin Cities for over 100 years, based in Owatonna. They're one of us, and they give you peace of mind. They give you risk management resources and tools, and you can find a full list of industries Federated protects at federatedinsurance.com. Federated, where it's our business to protect yours. Real quick, just a quick recap. Actually, I think we – hold on.
Yeah, we'll get there. We'll get there.
Okay.
We're getting back.
Yeah.
There we go.
We're coming back. Don't worry.
It's fine.
It's your show.
So a couple quick things, just real quick. I know we just beat a dead horse there with the Glenn Taylor stuff, but anyone who sits here and just puts their head in the clouds and goes Pollyanna and says, there's nothing to see here. This is all just, you know, you're trying to generate engagement for ESPN.com. You know, listen, Glenn Taylor is one of the worst, if not the worst, on the down low. He's not evil bad, but he's one of the worst owners in American professional sports, period. Okay. And until he is out, I would rather roll the dice on a pair of owners that might move the team for the hope that they can bring some innovation and some fresh thinking to this thing. And maybe the Wolves can compete at a high level, which they haven't in, 17 years at this point, than to have Glenn Taylor own the team for another minute. That's where I'm at with this thing. And it just kind of pisses me off that more people don't say that about Glenn. Like, just say it. He's a terrible, incompetent professional sports owner.
Yeah. Well, let's also consider the very important factors that go into the conversations about Glenn in this town. Like Duke said, I mean, he is a reliable, good source for people. I know, as a guy who tried to cultivate those type of folks on the Vikings beat, once you get them, you're not going to turn on them quickly. You might eventually have to. I did, but it's not going to be a quick process. The second thing, Phil, we don't talk about this probably enough, but the biggest newspaper in the state is owned by Glenn Taylor. So, like, if you're looking for, I mean, God bless Patrick and Chip and all of our friends at the Star Tribune, but I'm sorry, you know, they don't have the ability. They're not going to get the go-ahead to write what they probably would like to about Glenn.
Yeah.
And so the thing that frustrates me, and I feel, I don't want to, I'm going to sound condescending here, and I don't want to. I really don't want to, okay? The thing that frustrates me, and I mean, you've been my partner for a long time, and we're sort of in the same boat here because I feel sensibility-wise, we share a lot of the same things. But it is the whole, like, look at the Score North guys, fear mongering, trying to get clicks, trying to get, no, that's not you. We approach this job like it's a major market, which it is. Okay. And I'm sorry, we got enough experience and knowledge on this show where we're just not going to say, oh, the team's being sold to Alex Rodriguez. That sounds fantastic.
Yeah, I would say that we look beyond what the team press releases tell us to think about, right?
But I also feel like there's a pushback in this town then to try and minimize us as being clickbaity or trying to cause fear. That's not my goal. I just said Danielle Hunter, I think, is going to get signed here. I think that's going to get done. Because why? Because the precedent of what the Vikings have done with the Wolves say he will. The Wolves, you just pointed out and laid out exactly what Glenn has been about. And he did lie here. I mean, he clearly thought it would be easier for him to try and sort of skirt off with people, because he never thought it would get out with people thinking there's an agreement in place. So, again, I don't want to sound like I am trying to minimize how people think or feel or patronize them. But that being said, like, you have to look at how this is unfolding and be realistic. I think that's the thing. We don't like to be realistic. Kirk Cousins is a good quarterback. Not great. You guys suck. No, actually, we don't suck. We're just talking about who Kirk Cousins
is. I mean, we might suck, but it's not because we think Kirk Cousins is an average, slightly above average quarterback.
Oh, and we do suck in some ways. But I mean, that's where I almost feel like a lot of sports fans, and there are a lot of good ones too, but I feel like lot's the wrong word. I feel like there's a faction of sports fans that almost need to be talked to or retrained in how they feel about things. In part, because I'm going to come back on us. A lot of the media in this town have trained you to think happy thoughts. It's all going to be fine. Sometimes it's not fine.
And I think sometimes when you're a fan and maybe sports are an escape, you just want happy thoughts. And, you know, listen, we give plenty of happy thoughts on this show, on Purple Daily.
Yep.
But if there's a scale of, like, you know, if there's a happy thoughts spectrum, When we are keeping it real, so to speak, or giving an opinion that might not be all pie in the sky happy about a player or an owner or whatever it may be, it's certainly not as dig your claws in negative as you might see in New York or Boston. But, like, relative to a lot of what you see and hear and read in the Twin Cities, which is very much like, don't want to step on people's toes. There's a lot of, you know, sort of cheerleading that happens, I think it gets framed up as being negative when it's really just being, you know, real or somewhere in the middle, right? And you know, you said it, you know, it's tough for the Star Tribune because they're owned by Glenn Taylor. It's tough for I would say it's tough for KFan in some cases with the Vikings, because that's their biggest partner, right? Like, that, you know, there's gonna be certain things where, like, they just, now would we love to have a partnership at some point with a big, you know, we've got Minnesota United at Score North, and that's awesome. But, like, it makes it harder when you form those partnerships. The ESPN with the NBA and some of the China stuff that came out last year, it was really hard for ESPN to cover that story.
Yep.
So I don't know. Anyways, I hear you. And sometimes the truth hurts, and I just don't understand why we can't just tell the truth about Glenn Taylor as a professional sports owner. He's terrible. He's terrible. Just say it. It's a fact.
He's terrible. But he's one of us, Phil. Come on. I mean, he's just a Mankato. He's a Mankato guy.
But he saved the franchise in 1994 from moving, and that's great. Thank you. That was almost 30 years ago. We appreciate that.
He is about to sell the franchise to Alex Rodriguez, ladies and gentlemen.
Boys, let's on-air production meeting here. Do you guys want to do a little old tweets exposed, or do you want to dive into a little wild first? I know you guys I've got some takes.
I think the Whisperer should be given the floor for his hockey takes, because his Game 7 prediction has a chance.
Yep. listen, the Hockey Whisperer doesn't really have control over the visions that pop into his head.
Sure.
But before the series started, the Hockey Whisperer told you that this would be a 7-game series. Hold on. This would be a 7-game series.
Yes.
He sensed that Kevin Fiala would be playing well enough going into Game 7 for a Game 7 overtime winner.
Correct.
Which we will see. tomorrow night. But my God, that was a great comeback performance last night off of that debacle second and third period where they're hanging on for dear life in game five. And I think Cam Talbot has been, there's been a lot of, you know, there's the Fiala performance was good. Kaprizov has had a couple flashes here and there, but I think Cam Talbot is the main reason why the Wild have extended this thing into a game seven. He's just been excellent. Now, it helps to not have to face like 40 shots last night, so the whole team did a better job of just keeping Vegas out of odd man rushes and just like 5 minute extended stretches where they're just, you know, cycling the puck around in the Wild zone. But the Hockey Whisperer likes how this thing is playing out. Let's just put it that way. And you don't want to deal with the Minnesota Wild in a game seven historically, especially when you've been up 3-1. We know how this ends historically.
Undefeated. What did the Whisperer, full disclosure, what did the Whisperer think of the game last night from an aesthetic standpoint? Because that was two periods of very hard to watch hockey.
It was
very effective. But I mean, yeah, but I mean, did you get bored? Did you get, I mean, that was not an up and down, this is fun to watch free for all. How did you feel about the game itself? Like outside of the fact that you're pleased the Wild won.
It was grimy. But I don't know. I the Hockey Whisperer likes himself some playoff hockey. The Hockey Whisperer
is Phil there when the Whisperer's there? I mean, do you guys hang?
Phil was watching Knicks Hawks, and the Whisperer was watching the hockey game last night.
Interesting.
Declan had a very astute observation on our Ventline show last night when at the end of Ventline, he predicted that Phil Mackey would melt down about Glenn and then chimed in. But the Whisperer is this weird, calming influence. Like he is like the Whisperer shows up and he's like totally...
Here's the other thing about the meditative Hockey Whisperer. He senses a pucker factor for Vegas. Yeah. Now you got to like look at the dynamic going into the series. Like if Vegas is the higher seed, Vegas is in a championship window right now. I mean, Vegas is expected to compete for a Stanley Cup. Yeah. The city of Vegas, the fans, like they got a little taste a couple of years ago and they've got a chance again this year. They're expected to be in the mix to win a Stanley Cup championship. The Wild are a year early. This is all, I mean, you know, we would like to see them apply a little pressure here. Don't just get swept out of the playoffs. But now that they're here and now that they've put up a fight and we're going into game seven, Vegas has a lot more to lose if they lose this game than the Wild. I mean, if the Wild lose this game, everyone's going to stand up and be like, you know what?
Yeah.
It was tough.
Absolutely.
I'd rather have seen you win game seven, but what a fight. And what a great young nucleus going into the next season where maybe you can actually do some damage, couple off-season tweaks. So this is house money tomorrow night in Game 7 for the Wild. Well, we're going to get a loosey-goosey.
In Vegas.
You like that? Yeah. A loosey-goosey Wild team that listen, Hockey Whisperer is already on the record once saying Game 7 overtime winner. He feels even more strongly after what we've seen in Game 6 that the Wild will win this game tomorrow night.
Third consecutive year as well in the playoffs that the Golden Knights have blown a 3-1 lead. 2 years ago, first round, the Sharks beat them in San Jose in OT in game seven. Last year in the bubble, they blew a 3-1 lead against the Canucks and the Golden Knights subsequently did win the seventh game. Mm-hmm. But the point being, so going back to when the Wild hired Boudreaux, Phil, your point, because his game seven record at the time was what was it, like 1-7 or 1-8? It was really bad.
Yeah.
And your point was, and it's true, game sevens are coin flips. But here's the thing. So I've come to agree with you, and I think it's pretty much a commonly held theory among smart sports fans. Momentum doesn't really exist from game to game. Like the Wild didn't get on the plane and go, we got the momentum now. So I don't think that the game tomorrow night is going to start with the Wild having any type of decisive advantage momentum wise. Now, I think it can shift in games, but I don't think it carries from game to game. But that being said, I've decided what I used to think was momentum is actually mental, how you're mentally wired. And by that, I mean, if this is the third consecutive year that you were up 3-1 in a series and you keep blowing these things, you're going into that game thinking, we did it again. How did we do that? Like, we had two games to close this out and we didn't. And I believe that is very much a factor. And this all goes to a firsthand account of what we've seen with the Twins, which is those losses mean nothing. No, actually they do mean something and they're in your head. So I don't think it's momentum, like the Wild's going to come out and they're going to be skating and the Golden Knights are going to be lost. I do think that if you're the Wild, you're thinking what Phil just said, which is house money. We feel pretty damn good. And Vegas is thinking, oh my God, we're at home again and we've blown another lead. I think that's an actual factor at faceoff tomorrow night.
Yeah, I agree. And it's also nice to see, because Kevin Fiala can disappear sometimes and be kind of weird that way, but he's showing up.
Don't say anything bad about Fiala.
I don't know if disappear is the right word. I think
okay, he can take his foot off the gas pedal sometimes and put it on cruise control
yes.
for certain chunks of the season.
Yeah. It was a much needed performance from him last night. He deserved it. He 100% deserved it.
He deserved it.
100%.
That feed on the first goal, the assist he had was just a ridiculous feed. And then he finishes. They don't have many finishers on this team, but he's definitely one of them.
But they completely mucked up that game as much as possible, and it was brilliant. And I told Dex this. The most important thing was, and I know fans get mad at the refs, you know, ref, you suck. You didn't call this, you didn't call that. When those referees last night made it very clear they were not going to call a thing, the Wild could do whatever they wanted to slow the Golden Knights. And if we get that same type of officiating in Game 7, which is pretty much swallowing the whistle from the faceoff, it is advantage Wild. Because that last night to me was an ode to the 2003 Jacques Lemaire team, which is, this is going to be really sort of boring. It's not going to be fun to watch, and we don't care. Because if we start to try and play Vegas's game, they're going to lose.
Yes.
Yeah. Muck it up. Do what you got to do in Game 7, but ultimately, I think a little seasoning of Kaprizov in the first period, maybe two goals in regulation, and then Kevin Fiala in overtime.
Is that the whisperer talking, or you?
That's the whisper.
Oh, okay.
That's the whisper coming through right there.
All right, like it.
So, all right, good stuff. You can find, by the way, just in-depth, deep-dive breakdowns from these two guys, Judd's Hockey Show, Mackie and Judd Podcast. If you just want Judd's Hockey Show, we have a podcast feed just for those episodes, too. And Wild Vent Line last night, late into the night. It's been super fun just having people jump. I saw Tyler Fornes from Climbing the Pocket, noted football nerd, comes
big
in.
Big fan.
And hangs out with you guys last night, too. So check that out.
Recommended me this like red wine tequila, which I'm very curious about because I'm not a wine guy. I don't like wine. It's my least favorite alcohol in the entire world.
Yeah, but you're gonna be 30 soon, and then you'll just start to eventually...
Red wine tequila. The Mackie and Judd Show is looking for a new executive producer.
Yes,
our last one died of alcohol.
Dude, I told you guys, I think off mic, I had what's called a dirty claw at a dive bar a couple days ago.
I'm flying out to Seattle.
Sounds good.
Mason jar, two claws, and vodka.
Yep.
Very refreshing.
Thumbs up.
Oh my God. Like, I needed to go to bed 45 minutes later.
Get that guest bedroom ready for this 3-day weekend because I will be there.
How'd the wife do, though? I mean, she's a slight person. How could she drink the whole thing?
Tolerance is on par with, well, not quite on par with mine, but yeah, she, well, I'll put this, she conked out before I did. So we walked back to our
place. Well, yeah, no, that's what I'm saying. Is like, she's not. I mean, I don't want to say you're big, but. 2/3 of the show is bigger than, I mean, could play out. That's a line.
Think, yeah, you've got...
I'd be a tackle, you'd be a guard.
One of us looks like a capital letter I, and the other look like, you know, a capital letter B and a capital letter G.
What are you going to do?
All right. Declan, every single week, brings to us, and it's presented this week by our friends at Dennis Kirk and DennisKirk.com. Tweets from the archives, old tweets exposed, and I'll tell you, if you're looking to get away from your old tweets, maybe hop on a Harley. Maybe hop on, I don't know, some sort of sport bike or metric cruiser. Mm-hmm. You'll find what you need with any of those bikes and more at DennisKirk.com. 160,000 parts and accessories in stock, clothing and helmets as well. Order before 8 p.m. and they ship the same day, and shipping is free for orders over $89. They are the best in the business. We appreciate that they support us. People ask, like, what's the best way to support you guys? Support our sponsors. Dennis Kirk is one of them. Everything you need for your ride at DennisKirk.com. All right, Declan, what do you got here for us?
Okay.
Shame us.
Well, we had a little outfielder theme, and Phil and I have some takes on that. But actually, I have to expose Judd for a tweet that really isn't that old, but it's worth exposing. I'm sorry, sports dad here. May 1st, 2021, the Blues aren't only going to make the playoffs. They're likely going to make some noise. They are absolutely built for the postseason. The Blues were swept in four games by the Colorado Avalanche.
You took out my last part, unless they play the Avalanche.
You did. You took out that part.
You must have edited it out and put a... This is Photoshopped.
This is clearly Photoshopped.
Fake news.
Yep. Nope. Yeah, exactly right.
Fake news.
All right, that's pretty good. I mean, that's a good, solid leader in the clubhouse there.
That's a good start.
Just an immediate... It's not even an old tweet expose. It's just like an immediate slap on the hand from a tweet from 2 days ago.
I deserve it.
Okay, so this next one from Phil isn't necessarily too damning on Phil, but it's beat writer Phil covering the 2011 Twins, and we were talking about fourth outfielders yesterday. So on April 27, 2011, Phil tweeted, I asked a high-ranking Twins official this spring about possible under-the-radar guys. The first name he threw out was Rene Tassone.
Listen, I'm just reporting the news. This says more about that high-ranking Twins official than it does about... me.
Or maybe your high-ranking Twins official might not be the source you want to be talking to either. You never know.
Who did you talk to, Glenn Taylor?
I'm trying to think of who the high-ranking... Well, look at that flex by me, by the way.
Yeah.
This tweet is translated into, I talk to people.
Yeah.
Yes.
I have sources. I'm trying to think of who that high-ranking Twins official would have been. It's one of two people. One of them still works there.
I know exactly who it is.
One of them still works
there. I know exactly
who
you're talking about.
All right. That's pretty good.
And just
although I still think Judge the leader here because it wasn't my old tweet. It was
I always go last.
Yeah, if you had said now I really wish it had been, keep an eye on Rene Tassone. I've been watching him. Like if you had turned it into your own, that would have gotten you.
All right,
Declan.
I always self-report, and there's a lot of takes that I have also in the similar timeline that Phil did. And the time of this tweet says a lot, too. 4:52 a.m. on December 8th, 2012. Honestly, Mastriani should start in center. He could be a turd there, but it's better than wasting the development of Hicks and Joe Benson? And I think Joe Benson is who I mentioned here.
Joe Benson was a hot prospect. Okay, what were you doing up?
I don't know. I was an insane insomniac in college. Like I had all late afternoon classes.
So you're just waking up at 4:52.
No,
I wasn't waking up.
I was awake. I hadn't gone to bed yet. 100%.
But what prompts you? So whether you're still awake or you're up early, like what at 4:52 a.m. prompts you? By the way, on December 8th, so the Twin season's been over for months at this point.
Right.
What prompts you to just rifle off this hot center field take?
I don't know. I was probably obviously awake at a crazy hour, and I just decided to. So this would have been a Wednesday morning tweet, and it would be close. Oh, you know what? I'm doing the math. This was finals week at St. Cloud first semester. This would have been finals week, so I was probably up cramming. And then I got distracted on Baseball Reference, which was a normal thing that I would do when cramming. So that's probably what happened here. And yeah, I was probably maybe even looking at 1500 ESPN, Phil Mackey tweets and takes and stuff. And
so I wonder, this would have been right around the winter meetings. I would have been at the winter meetings, probably reporting on various things or just drinking.
Who did you think was going to see this or exchange thoughts on Darren Mastrioni at 4:52 a.m. on a Wednesday morning would be my question.
I got to say, I think we have a winner here. Declan at 4:52 a.m. tweeting how Darren Mastrioni should be the Twins starting center fielder definitely wins this
round. One of Bunny's best customers now. Last time I checked, I was there.
I think he's in finance. He actually he sent me a DM on LinkedIn a few weeks back, just like because I know I covered him and we had a good relationship, and he was just checking in to say hi.
That's a major drop. He actually I think my bartender Bunny's Brian told me he's also into woodworking. No, like he does a lot of really good, like he's talented.
Him and Glenn Perkins get together.
But how's Perk doing?
I haven't talked to Perk in a few months. I haven't talked to Perk in a few months.
He has trimmed down, man. He looks good.
Yeah. Well, I think the first couple of years after his retirement, we're very much experimenting with the IPAs on a regular basis.
That'll happen.
You know, if it's weight loss, if it's weight loss or punt on IPAs, I'm just going to stay fat.
I'm like that, but with wings.
That's what it does me yesterday at the local
establishment. You know, Dawn hates wings.
Oh, my God. I love
Dawn wings. Absolutely hates wings.
Did you discuss this before you got married?
I didn't read. You know what?
That's the type of bombshell that I would not want to hear after getting married.
Yeah.
I feel like in 1992 and then three, when we got married in April of 93, wings weren't as big back then as they have become now. I feel like now there's more types of wings and it'd be more of a problem now. But she hates them.
I find
wings
stretches.
Just to be a delightful, really enjoyable.
I'll tell you, I would never vouch for these over actual bone in wings, but you can find some good cauliflower wings out there for people who don't like actual wings. You know, just it's basically just fried cauliflower with buffalo sauce on it.
So, the incredible thing is how many calories are in the boneless wings.
Yep.
I looked at the calorie count one time because I love those. Oh, my God. It's enormous.
You got to go bone in at most normal. If it's known for its wings and it's a dive bar, bone in every time. Every time.
Bone in. If you find a good dry rub, I'll tell you the best dry rub in the Twin Cities, and this is not a paid advertisement at all, but Monte Carlo was their dry rub.
Yep.
Oh, really?
Ridiculous.
And a Manhattan, too, if I do say so myself. Good Manhattan there as well.
I will also say
thanks,
that.
Dean Martin.
Yes.
You're welcome.
All right, boys. You can find, once again, wild discussions every single day here until they decide they're not playing anymore. So hopefully they'll win Game 7 and give us another week of fun discussions. That's a wrap on today's episode. Tomorrow, Action Movie Rewind, Rush Hour, the mid-90s.
Hi, this is Chris Howard, host of Plugged In with Chris Howard. The College Football Playoff Committee made their decision on Sunday, and as much as I loathe the idea of Ohio State losing their way into the College Football Playoff, I 100% agree with OSU making it in over Bama. Nick Saban citing some hypothetical point spreads to prove his point that the Tide deserve a spot in the College Football Playoffs holds little substance when you consider Bama's best win is over Texas. No, the committee got it right. TCU had a great season with far more ranked wins than Bama and didn't deserve to lose their spot after playing a surging Kansas State in a championship game. And Ohio State, while not playing some of their best ball later in the season, was still 12-0 until they came face-to-face with my Wolverines. While the College Football Playoff system isn't nowhere near as good as it could be, it's better than what we had. And in a few years, it will be better for all of college football. Hi, this is Chris Howard, host of Plugged In with Chris Howard. Get the latest odds and trends for every professional and amateur league out there. From football to basketball to soccer and esports, we've got it all at BetOnline.net. And if you love sports podcasts, you can find those at BetOnline as well. And don't forget BetOnline for the NHL, MMA, boxing, and golf. Head to the website today or use your mobile device to learn more. BetOnline, where the game starts.